You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on April 22nd, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about three different news stories, but all of them are centered around a theme: the continuing efforts to normalize sexual immorality in our society. This is being done within the religious world and by those who are outside of it. For links to the stories that we're going to be talking about, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/042221. Now for our stories this week. First story: half of U.S. Christians say casual sex between consenting adults is sometimes or always acceptable. From Pew Research, many Christian traditions disapprove of premarital sex, and even though Christians in the United States hold less permissive views than religiously unaffiliated Americans about dating and sex, most say it's acceptable, at least some circumstances, for consenting adults to have sex outside of marriage, according to a recent Pew Research Center survey. Half of Christians say casual sex, defined in the survey as sex between consenting adults who are not in a committed romantic relationship, is sometimes or always acceptable. 6 in 10 Catholics, 62%, take this view, as do 56% of Protestants. In the historically black tradition, 54% of mainline Protestants and 36% of evangelical Protestants. Among those who are religiously unaffiliated, meanwhile, the vast majority, 84%, say casual sex is sometimes or always acceptable, including roughly 9 in 10 atheists, 94%, and agnostics, 95%, who say this. The religiously unaffiliated, also known as nuns, are those who describe themselves religiously as atheist, agnostic, or as nothing in particular. The survey did not ask respondents if they themselves would engage in any of these practices. Instead, the questions asked if they found the practices acceptable, regardless of whether you would do it yourself. That last part quoted from the article, I think, is key to this. This number, those percentages, are not about how many professed Christians are engaging in casual sex, or, to use the Bible term, fornication. It's not how many are actually engaged in this, but it's the number of professed Christians who are approving of it. This means that there will be more, quote, Christian parents who will neglect to teach their children diligently about the importance of abstinence before marriage. It means more, quote, Christian friends who will refuse to warn their brothers and sisters in Christ about the direction they appear to be headed in their relationships. It means that more church members will be upset if elderships attempt to discipline members who refuse to repent of their sexual immorality. And they'll make their disapproval known either by pressuring the leaders to compromise or by leaving the congregation. God's instructions about sex are pretty simple. It is to be between a husband and a wife within the marriage relationship. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." There's an article that's linked in the show notes that talks about how, it talks about marriage and God's plan for marriage. It's called God's Marriage Law. So this goes into more detail than what we're going to get into here in this podcast episode. But what we see here is, even among professed Christians, you have views that are following in line with the way, the direction that society is going. So it's not surprising when we have society moving in a certain direction that that influences the thinking of those in the church. But it is considered unacceptable by a lot of people to say that someone's behavior is wrong, whether it's about sex before or outside of marriage, or the practice of homosexuality, which leads to our second story. Story number two, mainline pastors drive growth in pastoral support for same-sex marriage. From Lifeway Research, a new survey from Nashville-based Lifeway Research asked Protestant pastors their thoughts on same-gender marriages and civil unions. In the most recent survey, 24% of pastors say they see nothing wrong with two people of the same gender getting married. Almost three-quarters say they disagree, with 67% strongly disagreeing. The near quarter of pastors in support of same-sex marriage are up from the previous Lifeway Research studies, 20% in 2018 and 15% in 2010. The increase in support for same-sex marriage among Protestant pastors can be attributed to changing attitudes among certain groups, especially mainline pastors. In 2010, 8% of self-identified evangelical Protestant pastors say they saw nothing wrong with two people of the same gender getting married, while 32% of self-identified mainline Protestant pastors said the same. Today, as a decade ago, 8% of evangelical pastors say they have no issues with same-sex marriage. Among mainline pastors, however, support has jumped from a third to almost half, 47%. Presbyterian or Reformed make up 49%. Methodists say 47%. Lutheran, 35%. All of them see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. So we might wonder how much of this change, because this is obviously a significant increase in the number of these so-called mainline groups, churches, denominations, where the pastors, the ones who are leading these churches, how much they are approving of same-sex marriages. How much of this change in the attitude toward homosexuality among religious people is being driven by the religious leaders? Or is the leadership following the direction of the churchgoers and others that they hope to reach? That's, it'd be interesting to see what is driving this. Is it the ideology of the pastors that's driving this? Or are the pastors wanting to fall in line with what the people want? Because they want to make them happy. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." In other words, people will want to hear what they want to hear. And they're going to find preachers, or in these churches, pastors, who are going to deliver that message that they want to hear to them. Paul warned Timothy that was going to happen. So what does Paul tell Timothy to do? He doesn't tell him to compromise his convictions or alter his message, which may be what's happening in some of these churches. Instead, Paul told Timothy in verse 2 of that chapter, "Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." In verse 5, he said, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Don't change the message, but keep preaching the message, even if it's not what people want to hear. The Bible clearly identifies homosexuality as sinful. Not the only sexual sin. We've already talked about fornication in general, especially among heterosexuals from that first news story that we looked at. But it is a sin nonetheless. Paul said it was contrary to nature and was classified as error in Romans 1, 26 and 27. He said that those who practice homosexuality, among other sins that he mentioned, and do not repent, cannot enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. He told Timothy that it was contrary to sound teaching in 1 Timothy 1:10. So whether these, quote, mainline pastors are influencing their congregations to change their attitudes, or the congregations are influencing these pastors to change their message, the result is the same. The gospel is distorted, making it something different from the gospel of Christ. Paul warned about this in Galatians 1, that the Galatians were departing from Christ for a different gospel, which he said is a distorted form of the true gospel. But following it meant that they were departing from Christ. So this move to accept homosexuality among religious people, which has been happening for a long time, is not going to be the end of this. Once any sin or error is accepted, there's going to be another one that'll come along after that. So if professed Christians approve of casual sex, as we saw in the first story, and homosexuality and same-sex marriage, as we saw in the second story, what else are they going to approve of down the road? Well, that leads into our third story. So story number three, a parent sues New York for the right to marry their adult child. From Discern, a lawsuit filed in New York by a parent wanting to marry his or her adult child is seeking to overturn the state's laws against incest. The litigant bringing the case has opted to remain anonymous due to the, quote, morally, socially, and biologically repugnant, end quote, view society holds for the act of incest. Now, this is not an example of some religious group or professed Christians that are advocating for this, at least as far as we know from the report. In fact, the one who is suing the state of New York wanted to remain anonymous because society still looks down upon incest. But how long is that going to be? How long is that going to be a view that is common, where this is something that is morally, socially, and biologically repugnant? Some things that used to be unthinkable, like same-sex marriage, is now widely accepted by the mainstream in our society. As of right now, incest is unthinkable to most in our society as far as being acceptable. But if the past several decades have taught us anything, it's that these views can change. And it could start with a lawsuit like this one. When attitudes change about this, we should not be surprised when those who call themselves Christians end up welcoming those who practice this eventually. After all, Paul rebuked the church in Corinth for accepting one who, he said, had his father's wife, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Now, granted, that was likely his stepmother, not his biological parent. But Paul said this was, at that time, among that group, even with the immorality that was prevalent in Corinth. He said that that was unheard of among the Gentiles, or those who are outside of the church. Yet the church in Corinth accepted it. Once God's standard for marriage and sexuality has been rejected by society, which it has been here in our society, once that happens, it's only a matter of time before any number of sexually deviant practices are introduced and accepted by that society. And when we think about this story here, what objective standard can we point to in order to show that incest is wrong? What fixed standard can we say that, well, based upon this, then it would be wrong for that parent to marry their adult child? That it would be wrong, that incest is wrong. What's the standard? Is civil law the standard? Well, those laws could change. Are societal norms the standard? What society in general thinks, that they consider this morally repugnant? Well, those are constantly evolving, the standards that society has. God's word is the only standard that is fixed and unchanging. Psalm 119:89 said the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Once we reject God's standard, again, as our society has on a number of issues, but here we're talking about sexuality and sexual immorality. Once God's standard has been rejected, then we have no firm footing upon which we can take a stand on anything, whether it's sexuality or marriage, or in the case of this story, how are you going to say that incest is wrong? If casual sex is okay, well, you know, then why isn't same-sex marriage okay? Same-sex marriage is okay, well, why isn't incest okay? Where will the line be drawn? And on what basis is that line even reasonable? When we reject God's standard, that anything goes, and it's just a matter of time before people come around to accepting whatever the particular practice is. Now, you can read more about the topics. I've included a few links in the show notes. One that I already mentioned, the article about God's marriage law. And then I have other articles about homosexuality and also the situation in Corinth, that where Paul said it was not even named among the Gentiles. I've got articles that included in the show notes that you can check out that are on those topics. So that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. And for links to the news stories that have been cited, as well as the other links that we talked about, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/042221. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you use those platforms, please subscribe to the podcast there. And if you feel inclined to do so, rate the podcast as well. And if you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or any of the episodes that we produce here, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, please email the link to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.